its current state on WKAR. This weekend marks the 50th anniversary of a tragic and historic turning point in the fight for civil rights. The night of June 21, 1964, three young civil rights workers were shot and killed near the community of Philadelphia, Mississippi. They were there organizing and working to register African Americans to vote during 10 violent and controversial weeks remembered as Freedom Summer. Tomorrow night, WKAR-TV looks back a half century with a public preview of part of our upcoming American Experience special, also named Freedom Summer. It'll include a panel discussion with four special Michigan guests who were active in the civil rights movement: Willard Walker, Reverend John Baumgartner, Milton Powell, and Judy Karanjeff. The panel moderator will be former state representative and gubernatorial candidate Lynn Jondal of Okemos, who participated in 1965's Selma to Montgomery March. Yesterday, I spoke with Lynn Jondal. I first asked him to describe the national atmosphere in 1964 regarding civil rights for African Americans.
Well, there were a number of things going on. Generally, there was a growing awareness of the struggle, civil rights struggle, in the South, particularly. There had been busloads of people coming to the South from northern communities to participate in multiple states in voter registration projects, efforts to encourage and get African-Americans to register and vote. So communities all over the country were aware of the struggle going on. When those three young men were first disappeared, and then a period of time while they were looking to find what had happened to them, that became a kind of a daily news item. Why were they there? What had happened? They were there as part of the Freedom Summer and voter registration effort. So there was a good deal of attention riveted on what was going on in the South, but also in communities in the North. There were those stores, for example, Woolworths, which was a store, a kind of five and dime, mm-hmm. that had lunch counters. Sure. It's where the buses stopped that were bringing these freedom riders into to the South, because they would not serve those people on the buses. Pickets went up and boycotts in communities all over the country around that chain to bring pressure.
The nation in particular was outraged over the murders of Cheney, Goodman, and Schwerner, and they spurred the federal government into action with the Civil Rights Act signed into law only 10 days after they disappeared. Do you remember your response to that?
We were watching I lived in Los Angeles at the time and worked on a campus there as a campus pastor, and we were watching. It was a regular evening ritual, the news on what was happening. That particular action with those students disappearing, we had colleagues colleagues of mine who were going regularly to Washington to talk to members of Congress about the need for the Civil Rights Act. And so there was a lot of organizing in various communities to bring political pressure. That particular action did a couple of things. It certainly underscored in people's minds the seriousness of the struggle for civil rights, but also required people in political office to take a stand, because they could no longer pretend or say there wasn't something mm-hmm. going on there. It was mm-hmm. it was a kind of mobilizing thing, and so the question became, what are you going to do about this reality? And it sharpened that focus.
And in 65, you became more directly involved. You participated in the march on Selma, Alabama. I see in the early 60s, the population of Dallas County, where Selma was 57% African-American, but of the 15,000 African Americans old enough to vote, only 130 were registered. That's fewer than 1%. Can you describe and remember your impressions of the place when you first arrived?
Well, I remember it vividly. There was a church called Brown's Chapel there, where it was kind of the gathering place for the activity, and we met daily for instructions and rallies and training. Once we arrived, we were taken to be introduced to who would be our host family, a local African-American family in a housing development there in Selma.
Mm-hmm.
My introduction to a number of things. I mean, I was introduced to a community, obviously predominantly African-American. I was introduced to whatever was on their menu for this Iowa kid now in California. I was introduced to grits for the first time. They were our hosts to house us. But then we'd spend each day doing practice demonstrations. We would go perhaps and march around a local school in Selma. We would take small groups and walk down to the city hall to register people there, being turned away on a regular basis. One day in the training, a group of us were arrested by the Selma officials and taken to be booked, and then there were enough of us, they didn't have jail space. They put us in a big building, auditorium, overnight, and held us, released the next day. But a great feel of anxiety, let's call it fear, not knowing what was going to happen next, and knowing full well that the situation was extremely volatile.
Freedom Summer is a WKAR-TV's next American Experience special, and tomorrow evening at 7 here at MSU's Communication Arts Building, the public is invited to view part of the movie and share in a roundtable discussion that will be moderated by our guest, former State Representative Lynn Jondal. There were actually several marches to get from Selma to Montgomery. There was Bloody Sunday, March 7th. When about 600 marchers were attacked by police with billy clubs and tear gas. Can you describe the march itself? What stands out in your memory?
A couple of kinds of things. One of them was, I remember a youngster who I'm guessing his age to be 7, 8 at the oldest, who local, who said, was walking beside me, and he said, you know, are you afraid? And I said, well, I'm having a bit of anxiety. And he said, I'm not afraid. Dr. King says our love will flow over and affect all these people who are standing there. So I was feeling a little weak compared to my companion there. We were walking down streets that we had a lot of local people screaming at us obscenities and so on as we approached the bridge, where we had seen on TV the previous effort get demolished by law enforcement coming in on horses with clubs and so on. And so that was kind of a
tense moment.
Moment as that happened, yeah. You know, there was singing. We were singing freedom songs. There was a sense of spirit. We had learned positions to take if you were attacked, trained in nonviolence, how to essentially protect yourself or fall on someone else to protect them. So it was serious business in that sense, but a highly emotional and uplifting experience with, you know, joining in the process, but surrounded by clear challenge.
Put on your reviewer's hat for us for just a second. Describe what you've seen of the program.
The program is interesting because it rehearses for us I keep thinking it wasn't very long ago, but, you know, kids like you, you know, it was 50 years ago. And it does rehearse, which seems to me, as I say, not that long ago, a very critical time in our history. And they looked at three things. You saw these kids from colleges and universities all over the country, about 1,000 of them, coming to Mississippi to participate in helping to register African Americans to vote. The kind of figures you were talking about out of Selma and others were just dramatic in that sense. And then others of them teaching in freedom schools, which were teaching Black history, teaching a pretty basic curriculum that these African American kids were not exposed to in their school system at that time. And then another part of the film that's very dramatic is the struggle for the Freedom Democrats, a group of a biracial integrated delegation saying, we are the true representatives of the Democratic Party in Mississippi. They went to the convention to challenge the all-white delegation.
Dixiecrats.
Dixiecrats had arrived there. And the film has a very dramatic telling of that story, of their challenge to the Democratic Party, the reaction of the party, including then President Johnson, his nominee for Vice President Hubert Humphrey, resisting the Freedom Democrats for fear it would split the party and lose the South for the Democrats in the upcoming 64 election. A marvelous telling of that story, which probably is not real well known.
Our guest is Lynn Jondahl. Again, the public will have its chance to view Freedom Summer tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. It is free, but we ask that you visit WKAR.org to reserve your places. Lynn Jondahl will be moderating a panel discussion, including several special guests. So 50 years later, what is the legacy of Freedom Summer, in your view?
Well, we do have, for sure, legislation that came out of that period of time, not alone out of Freedom Summer, but we did have the Civil Rights Act. Now, I would say, unfortunately, we're seeing erosion of some of the provisions in that as recently as a decision of the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court. But in fact, it was the marking time of a major significant change. I think particularly focused on the issue of voter registration, which then meant never again were we going to have to fight that same battle to assure that there was racial representation in the conventions and voter registration. Now the figures are substantially different. But having said the positive things, you look at what still is a struggle with the efforts to make it more difficult in many cases for low income, for African American voters to get to the polls, to register, and so on. So the struggle's not over.
Are you more encouraged or discouraged here 50 years later?
Well, I'm encouraged in that it's such a substantially different world in regard to access to our democratic institutions and so on. But it is discouraging to me that so many of these issues are still being fought in such raw and open kinds of ways that it seems to me 50 years later we ought to be able to take voter participation, registration, and so on for granted, and yet we can't. It's still a struggle.
Our guest has been Lynn John Dahl. Once again, Lynn is the moderator of a panel discussion that will take place tomorrow night here at WKAR-TV, Communication Arts building here surrounding Freedom Summer, the next American Experience special. Lynn John Dahl, many thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mark.
And a reminder that tomorrow night's event is free, but we ask that you register online beforehand. Please go to WKAR.org. Available seats are going fast.